Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed among all cattle and beasts of the earth. Upon thy breast shalt thou go, and earth thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Immediately following the second creation story, the third chapter of Genesis begins with the serpent's attack on Eve by means of temptation to prompt her fall from grace. This passage is more than just about the serpent and Eve. It foreshadows the much larger, more important battle between Satan and Mary and all humanity. Who will conquer who? Today, we're going to look at this battle between Satan and Mary by looking at the name of the apparition of Our Lady as she appeared on Tempelhof Hill on December 9th, 10th, and 12th of 1531. What is the Virgin's name? This search for the true name of Our Lady is not just academic, as there is both historical and theological importance to answering this question. In Tenochtitlan, the capital of the Aztec Empire, now modern-day Mexico City, the spoken language was Nahuatl, still spoken to this day by many in Mexico. Saint Juan Diego spoke this language, and the early Franciscan missionaries had to use interpreters in their conversations with the Aztecs. Remember that Tenochtitlan was only conquered by Hernando Cortes one decade earlier, in 1520. We are now in the year 1531. The language and culture of this capital city were still universally Aztec and pagan. And by pagan, this wasn't the paganism of Greece. On average, 1,000 human sacrifices would take place in the pagan temples every week. In the decade following the Spanish victory, adult Christian baptisms of the Aztecs were few and far between. The baptized Juan Diego was the rare exception, and though Christian, he still only spoke Nahuatl. Thus, when Our Lady spoke to him and his uncle to be understood, she spoke in their Nahuatl language, the only language he knew. Our Lady said to Juan Diego that she wants the perfect and perpetual Virgin Mary, Mother of the true God, through whom everything lives, the Lord of all things, who is Master of heaven and earth. But she never said to Juan Diego, I am Our Lady of Guadalupe. Rather, it was to his uncle, Juan Bernardino, after she healed him from his would-be fatal fever, that she revealed the name that she wished to be called. Now we must know that in the Nahuatl language, there is no D and no G. Thus, phonetically, the Guadalupe could not be pronounced in Nahuatl, as this is an Arabic word introduced in Spain. In support of the claim that Aztecs cannot pronounce these letters, interestingly, to this day, some in Mexico, especially those who still only speak Nahuatl, do not call her Our Lady of Guadalupe, but rather Tonantzin, which means Our Mother, because the site where Our Lady appeared on Tepeyac Hill was once the site of the temple Tonantzin, the pagan mother goddess. Saint Juan Diego laid stress on the fact that Our Lord appeared on the site of the temple of the pagan mother goddess Tonantzin, to show that Christianity was to replace paganism and Mary was to replace Mother Earth. Also, in the written Indian historical codices, the early records do not call her Our Lady of Guadalupe. Further, this isn't a modern criticism, as even in the 1600s, priests were coming out claiming that Guadalupe was a corruption of the Nahuatl that Our Lady would have spoken to be understood. So how did it come about that some, and even the church, seems to have maintained that Our Lady did say Guadalupe? that is, with a B and a G. The error likely stems from the fact that the Spanish foreigners thought that Juan Bernardino was attempting to say the term de Guadalupe, a Spanish rhyme very familiar to them, and the devotion that they tried to encourage to the Aztecs, but with a name which they realized the Aztecs could not properly say. The Spanish shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe was very popular, as it houses a statue of Our Lady holding the Christ child, believed to have been carved by the evangelist Saint Luke. It was at this Spanish shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe that Christopher Columbus went to pray before and after his successful voyage to the New World. Hernán Cortés was from the Extremadura region of Spain that housed the shrine of Guadalupe. Yet efforts to unite Our Lady in Mexico to the Spanish shrine are not quite satisfactory historically and theologically. How Our Lady of Tepeyac could be identifying herself with the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Spain that does not refer to her Immaculate Conception is simply not clear. It appears that from the beginning, Guadalupe was hotly contested, and in 1560, the Spanish clergy had to mandate that she be called Guadalupe. What meaning should be attached to Mary's name at this apparition? We note that the Virgin first appeared to Juan Diego on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which at that time, in 1531, was celebrated on December 9th. It is therefore interesting that we have this feast day today in the wake of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. On this feast, we celebrate a lady free from original sin, free from the clutches of the devil. Thus, the timing of the apparition of Our Lady to Saint Juan Diego was tied to the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. In fact, Bishop Zumarraga, the Bishop of Mexico City at the time, himself called the image the Immaculate Conception. So the question remains, as the letters or sounds of D or G do not exist in Nahuatl, what was likely the name that Our Lady gave to Juan Bernardino, the uncle of Saint Juan Diego? Let us now put forward two strongly held names for Our Lady. There is some debate, but the most widely held consensus is that she said the Guadalupe, which means who saves us from the devourer. This makes sense not only phonetically but also theologically. For the Aztecs, the devourer signified not only Satan, but also the terrible pagan god Quetzalcoatl, depicted as a serpent. It is estimated that yearly the Aztecs would sacrifice 50,000 men, women, and children to the pagan gods. More explicitly than other pagan cultures, the Aztec religion was the most visibly satanic, with the serpent being the main religious symbol found on nearly all the temples. The sacrifice of the Aztecs was a horrific inversion of the Christian sacrifice. For the Aztecs who called themselves the people of the sun, to ransom the life of the sun god, to make sure that he would continue to live and shine upon the earth, thousands of humans would have to be killed in sacrifice. The Christian inversion is that for us, the Son of God laid down his life in ransom for us. It is on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception that we celebrate liturgically Our Lady's victory over the devil, because she was conceived without original sin, without the devil's mark on her soul. By appearing on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the Mother of God was affirming that it was by her Immaculate Conception that she defeated the devil and the serpent god, Quetzalcoatl. In other words, we celebrate her being saved from the devourer. The Virgin herself was not only saved from the devourer, but she also saves us from the devourer, because she crushes his head with her immaculate foot, giving him the lethal blow to the head through the power of her son's cross. In the Litany of Loreto, we call Our Lady, Virgin Most Powerful, Refuge of Sinners, Comforter of the Afflicted, and Help of Christians. The more Our Lady was graced by God and exalted, the more in humility she shares her grace with us, her children. Mary will not be outdone in generosity. The more God blesses her, the more she blesses and helps us. That is why Our Lady most likely called herself Tenkuatalope, who saves us from the devour. Another name suggested by Nahuatl scholars and historians is that she called herself Tenkuatzalupe. Tenkuatlasupe, which also means she who stamps or crushes the stone serpent. Again, this basically associates Our Lady with the Immaculate Conception. In Genesis 3:15, which we read at the beginning of the sermon, we read again, I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel. For the Aztecs, we have seen that this stone serpent was the dreaded feathered serpent god, Quetzalcoatl, the most monstrous of Aztec gods that would claim the life of 50,000 human sacrifices every year. Thus, Our Lady by the name of Tenkuatlasupe means that she would crush all the Aztec gods and Satan who is behind them. Among those speaking Nahuatl still to this day, Our Lady is still known as Santa Maria Tenkuatzalupe. That the woman would crush the serpent's head was prophesied in the first book of the Bible in Genesis, and it is confirmed in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, where Satan is identified as the serpent and that he shall be defeated. This defeat of Satan by the Virgin Mary was already shown in the greatest mass conversion to Christianity in history, with more than 9 million Aztecs converting in the next 10 years following her apparition. In a land of 10 million Aztecs, in less than 10 years, 90% had converted and were baptized into Christianity. She converted the hearts of the Aztec Indians with her gentleness, her beauty, her purity, her humility, and her divine maternal power to deliver all from the clutches of the devil. We may wonder, if Our Lady identifies herself with the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, why didn't she say so explicitly? Remember, this is 1531. Though we have the liturgical feast of the Immaculate Conception, it had not yet been declared a dogma. It wasn't until 4 years after the declaration in 1854 that she appeared in Lourdes, declaring as such in 1858. Obviously, it is perfectly fine to continue calling the Blessed Virgin, Our Lady of Guadalupe, as it lies within the Church's competence and authority to declare the naming of the apparition. Naming her Our Lady of Guadalupe does not significantly change the message of Our Lady. But I would encourage you that when you think of Our Lady of Guadalupe, think that it means Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, she who crushes the head of the devil. Why is Our Lady of Guadalupe so important? First, the location of the apparition is very important. Our Lady appeared on Tepeyac Hill near modern-day Mexico City, not just for one group of natives, one tribe, or even one nation. She appeared in the geographic center of America, and she declared herself to be the mother of all who lived in this land. I am your merciful mother, the mother of all who live united in this land. Secondly, the timing of this apparition is very important for us. Tragically, as millions were being taken from the church through the Lutheran heresy, God used his mother to be the instrument through which more were brought into the church in America than had left the church in Europe. As the American continent began to be colonized, God sought that from the beginning it would be done so through the maternal blessing of the Virgin of Guadalupe. Whether we are the descendants of the first natives or the descendants of those immigrating to this continent, we have Mary as a mother of this American continent, a mother in whom we find both protection and divine blessing. Let us pray for an end to the modern human sacrifices of abortion that kill just as many humans as were sacrificed by the Aztecs in their temples. The blood of these poor babies cries out to God, and so we turn to Our Lady of Guadalupe for an end to abortion. Like the Aztecs, modern man likes to sacrifice at the altar of self-love. May Our Lady turn the hearts of all those who live in this American continent to God, so that Christ can reign in our hearts. Let us close with the words of Pope Pius XII, who declared the Virgin of Guadalupe to be the Empress of all the Americas. For we are certain that as long as you are recognized as Queen and Mother, Mexico and America will be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.